Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I am Scott Guthrie, a neonatologist, the state project leader for the Tennessee's Tiniest Babies Project, and the past infant medical director for TIPQC. I'm really excited about today's conversation because it's one of my favorite things to talk about, which is family-centered care. And we have some true experts today in that area to have this discussion with. I want to introduce all of our audience to Dr. Malati Balasundaram, the founder and the co-chair of the Family Center Task Force, and Morgan Kowalski. She is the program manager of the FCC Task Force and a former NICU parent. Y'all want to say hi to everybody real quick before I introduce
them? Hi, everyone. Thank you. Hi, everyone.
So let me just introduce Malati to everybody. She is a clinical professor at the Stanford School of Medicine, and she's an attending neonatologist at El Camino Health. This is a community level 3 NICU, where she serves as a NICU family-centered care committee chair. She founded the Family-Centered Care Task Force in early 2022 after successfully implementing FCC practices in her local unit to help others do the same. And we are so excited you're helping to share this wisdom and help others do the same. Morgan, who I mentioned, is the program manager for the task force. You have a very special story, Morgan, because you are a parent of a micro preemie, Thomas, right? And he was born at 25 weeks and is now an amazing 7-year-old, I understand. That's absolutely awesome. So she is a quality improvement family partner at the NICU, where her son was an inpatient, and is the parent family partner with the New York State Perinatal Quality Collaborative. She's also been involved with the Vermont Oxford Network's Optimizing Neurodevelopment for Infants with BPD project and the American Academy of Pediatrics Family Partnership Network. Thank you both for joining us today. So, Malati, I'm going to throw the first question to you. Tell us a little bit about your career journey and sort of how you got involved in this and interested in family-centered care.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for your kind introduction. We are excited to join you and share our work, and it's actually my passion. And I grew up in a small town in the southern part of India. It's called Kanchipuram. And my dad used to have a small provision store. And I think in US, you guys call this the mom and pop shop. I remembered attending to customers in between doing homework. I was the first girl to attend college in my family, and that too, public medical school, on scholarship. I got married to my very supportive husband and moved to US. And I did my residency in New Jersey and then fellowship in San Diego and joined the Stanford faculty group 10 years ago. As an early career faculty, I was looking for scholarly work and I had a passion for quality improvement work. I joined the FCC team in my local NICU to improve discharge education. I was given an opportunity to become an FCC chair in my second year as a faculty. I learned so much by collaborating with families and built this comprehensive program from antepartum NICU to discharge and beyond. And expanded our family advisory council from 6 former NICU families to 56 in 9 years time period when I was a family-centered care committee chair. I'm so grateful to have a local leadership support in this journey. That's always challenging to get, if you ask me. But I really had a great support from my medical director and senior leadership in maternal child health that's always a plus to add to my career journey in FCC.
Yeah, so that's great. So tell everybody what the Family-Centered Task Force actually does. I think this is like the real key and what I'm excited to hear.
Yeah, so I think after collaborating with the local family partners, calling us a family partners who are former NICU parents, the stories they shared, the lessons they taught inspired me to form this FCC task force in 2022. I was a part of the TCAN, the AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics Trainees and Early Career Neonatologists group. They have a summer QI group just for a fun way of learning QI. So I was part of that group, and I asked the group, do they have any specific FCC program like one I have in my local NICU? And I'm surprised to find out that 31 out of 48 respondents did not have any FCC program. And I thought if I could help one more center to form this FCC program with the small group peer mentoring model, it would be a great success. So that's how it all started. And I recruited a passionate multidisciplinary clinicians and family partners. The FCC Task Force is the first international multi-center collaborative initiative solely dedicated to quality improvement in NICU family-centered care.
And Morgan, that's where you come in, because you've got the story, the parent story with this. So tell us a little bit about your journey with FCC. And I mean, I just want to hear about your journey overall in the NICU and that story that you can share with everybody.
Thank you, Scott. As you mentioned, my son Thomas was born at 25 and 1. He was a micro preemie, and he had a very long, difficult course. Roughly 2 years after we were discharged home, I was serving as a quality improvement family partner in the unit where he was inpatient when I was invited to join the FCC task force as a family partner on their executive council. So that was in probably mid-2022, shortly after the task force formed. So very fortunate to kind of get in on the ground level of this incredible organization. I was able to attend a Graven's conference in early 2023, through a scholarship that the Family-Centered Care Task Force was offering family partners. And that's where I met Malathi in person for the first time. Our communication styles and passion for this work are so similar. And when she asked me if I would serve as the task force's program manager, I was so excited to accept that role and that offer. And so my work with Malathi and the FCC task force has been a passion and a calling ever since.
All right. So Malathi, now I've got to hear what exactly the core mission of the task force is. And, you know, how are you going to take these ideas, these stories that parents are sharing, and then really transform care in the NICU and how we relate to parents and our patients?
Yeah. Thanks for the question, Scott. And I wanted to add to Morgan's comment, and she's the backbone of the organization, by the way. So she is keep us all organized. And it's so amazing to see the organization growth in just the 3 years time period. And this is truly an inspiration for me to keep doing what I'm doing. So thank you for all the collaboration that you do, Morgan. So I want to talk about our mission. So our aim is to support the NICUs wherever their journey is. If they are beginning to implement the family-centered care practice, they are already established the family-centered care practice, wherever their journey are, to support them as they begin or strengthen the family-centered care practice in their units. As a peer mentoring model, so we use a free bi-monthly webinar education to create awareness and not only sharing why we need to do the family-centered care practice and how you can do it. So that's what there's a gap. The evidence exists that family-centered care improves infant outcome and family's mental health outcome, but it's not reaching to the bedside. There's a gap between the evidence and then clinical practice. So we are trying to bridge that gap by doing this educational webinar and doing the quality improvement work and doing small group office hours so we can hear the provider's challenges and how we can support them by hearing the family stories, like lived experience of the families. That's so powerful and impactful. So hope we can change their mindset to collaborate with the families. That's our, so we can, from the idea to make it as a practice.
Yeah. So I want to back up just for a second, because we're using this term family-centered care, and I'm under the assumption that like everybody knows what we're talking about. Let's back just for a second and make sure we're all on the same page. So Morgan, can you define for our audience exactly what family-centered care means in the context of the NICU, and then why it's so important and so integral that a neonatal intensive care unit, the nurse, the physician who's involved in the care of that baby, begins to integrate this into their daily practices?
Absolutely. So family-centered care in the NICU is a compassionate approach that recognizes the vital role families play in the health and well-being of their newborns. So rather than viewing parents as visitors, family-centered care treats them as essential partners in their baby's care team. And studies show that family-centered care in the NICU improves both infant clinical health outcomes and family mental health outcomes. It reduces length of stay, it reduces mortality rates, and it reduces readmission rates. So there's really no downside to practicing family-centered care and a million upsides.
So give me some like examples at the bedside. Like I'm going in, I had a whole bunch of babies I saw at the NICU today. Mm-hmm. What is something very practical I could do tomorrow when I go to see those same parents and have the conversations with them, see them with their babies? What are some things that you might recommend that I try to do?
I think the easiest, best place to start, Scott, is just by viewing parents and speaking with parents in the same way that you would a colleague. So calling me by my first name. Hey, Morgan, how are you today? How's Tommy doing? How was Tommy's night? What did you notice? That's exactly the kind of dialogue you would open with a colleague of yours at the bedside. And if I'm going to be an essential member of your care team, I'd like you to call me by my first or preferred name. And let's have a conversation about my baby the same way you would as a colleague, because chances are I've been sitting here with eyes on him for at least the last hour. It could probably give you a great update on how I think things are going.
What are some other maybe simple phrases, questions I could ask, things that I could work into the regular things I say at the bedside anyhow that are maybe key to making this happen? What are some things you can think of?
Sure. So you could say, what are your goals for your baby today? Do you want to hold your baby? Do you want to feed your baby? You know, maybe the baby is on a high frequency ventilator. Do you want to read your baby a story? Do you want to do some containment care? Let's log some neuroprotective minutes with your baby today. Another great way to kind of involve a parent would be, do you know, what questions do you have for the team right now?
Okay.
Not do you have questions, but what questions do you have, right? Because I think that invites a response, whereas the other could be probably, I mean, parents are pretty aware of the fact that you all are busy, right? Like I'm one of 50 patients that you're going to see today, right? And so I can see that you're moving and you're hustling and you're getting through rounds. And so when you say, what questions do you have, instead of do you have any questions, that for me is an opportunity to say, actually, I do have some questions now that you phrase it that way, you know, whereas otherwise I might not want to bother you. I might not want to take up your precious time, right?
Yeah. Love it. All right. Malathy, back to you. Because now we've been talking about like all these different stakeholders. You've got the nurses, you've got the doctors, you've got the parents, you've got all the different therapists that are involved in the baby's care. I mean, the NICU is just a crazy busy place with lots of people. And I can see how it's completely overwhelming to a family who's never been in this environment before to try to understand all these things that are taking place. How is the task force going to work and collaborate with all these different stakeholders, all these different people that are involved to improve care in the NICU? How are you doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, Scott. The family-centered care task force, I know the inception started with the TCAN, which is the neonatologist group and physician group. But as you mentioned, NICU care, that we take care of any babies that involve multidisciplinary team. So that's the reason we don't want it to just separate us to this physician-driven group. So we included every stakeholder, nurses, nurse educator, therapist, and we added a social worker in our executive council, the social vice president of the social worker organization. So we wanted every frontline providers to collaborate with us. So whatever we are doing in our task force, creating the webinar so we can invite them to be a speakers, so we can share their perspective, so how the nurse can help the families to be integrated in the care. So we wanted them to be a collaborative model, so we invite them. And one of the key strengths of the FCC task force lies in its ability to break down the silo that often hinders the healthcare, right? So everybody works silo. Like, I'm working in the task force, I'm silo. And then the NPN, the NICU parent network, they are building this community partners. They are working. So how do we bring them together? So that's the reason we reached out to several state collaboratives, the PQCs. We can ask them, hey, can we collaborate with you? So you can share our FCC-related work to your members, and we can share your FCC-related work to our members so we can learn from each other. And thank you for your partnership. And we love that you guys joined our organizational partners. It actually grown to 38 organizational partners now, and we are excited to collaborate with you and your team.
Man, that's fantastic and exciting to hear that there's so many other people that are in groups that are interested in this. So tell me and tell our audience just a little bit about some of your successful programs. Like, what have you done so far? How have you seen some of these things succeed? I know you've had some papers that have been published, and I want to share those with our listeners in our show notes. So talk about those, whatever you want to share, your success stories.
Yeah, sure, Scott. So I can start with this. We have completed 20 webinars so far. So it's a bi-monthly webinars, and equal. We invite the researchers to share their work, and also the family partners share their lived experience. So we put together those webinars and completed 20 so far. And the second thing is a small group quality improvement work, and which is within a year time period, we were able to recruit 22 centers, and most of them are US and one center from Israel. So we recruited them and we asked them their baseline questions about their challenges, barriers in implementing the family center care practices and forming family center care committee and family advisory council. So we looked at their challenges and we brainstormed with our executive council and small group leaders, and they created a key driver diagram and share the change ideas with the team so they can work on their individualized, their unit based, that they can just work on improving their practice. Within a year time period, 16 out of 22 centers actually improved their family center care. They built their family center care committee and family advisory council, which I would say a huge success given how difficult to form a committee and getting a leadership buy-in, but they were able to do it. And we published our work in Journal of Perinatology online February of 2025 this year. So I'm happy to share that it's open access, so everybody can have access to that. And I'm happy to share with your team and to include that in a show note.
Yeah, please do. We'll put this in our show notes so you can get the link to the paper. We want to certainly put the link to the FCC Task Force website as well. There are a ton of resources there. But before we jump on to what like nurses and physicians need to know, you mentioned that people had barriers to this, that you had to overcome some barriers. So if I'm like a neonatologist or nurse who's listening to this, thinking, man, this sort of sounds like a good thing to do, but I've got to deal with this and this and this. What are some of the barriers you typically hear people mention? And then what are, real quick, some things that we can do to overcome those barriers as we're trying to pitch this idea to people in leadership and that we may need to move forward with something like family-centered care?
Yeah, I think several publications, they actually shared about these barriers around FCC practices implementation, I can share what we learned in our QI work for a family-centered care committee implementation. Top barrier was a lack of staff time. I don't have a time to teach these parents. I can do it on my own, but I don't have a time to do it. That's the top barrier that we noticed, lack of staff time. And followed by resistant to NICU culture change. Like, I am a nurse, I know this, and I know better, and I don't want it to be a mentor. I don't want it to be guiding the families. So those culture change is the second barrier. And lack of family presence. And I think overall, our advocacy team is working on about improving the parental leave. So that will hopefully help us to bring the parents at the bedside. And also, we don't have a family-friendly NICU environment. Like, you ask them to do skin-to-skin care, but they can't do it on the chair. You need to have a comfortable place for them to sit down and then relax and then do the skin-to-skin care. So those are all the barriers that we found in our study. And so based on those barriers, we actually put together the key driver diagrams and some change ideas. And one of the things that we are doing it in the task force is just creating that awareness and why they need to do it and why they need to do the family-centered care practice. So that way we can take care of the top two barriers, right? The lack of staff time. When you educate the parents, then when you come, like if they stay there in the NICU for a month or so, then after a month, they are going to be more competent and confident to take care of their babies, because ultimately they are the one going to take the baby home. So you are doing that, you're just building that confidence in them in the early phase that's going to help you later on. So it's, if you ask me, it's a no-brainer and we just have to do it. But I completely understand if you have a 3-baby assignment and 2-baby assignment and it is hard to implement, that's why we need to collaborate with the families and just reach them where they are, what stage they are, so we can help them to support and bring the joy in the NICU stay. And a NICU is a traumatic experience for families. And how do you bring, like, a small moment, if they give a bath to the baby or changing the diaper or taking the first feeding by bottle. So whatever the moment of joy that we can bring out from them. So that's really important.
All right. So you sold me. I need to be involved in the family-centered care task force. The barriers that I was thinking about, you've like told me that I can overcome those. So Morgan, now I'm ready to sign up. I'm ready to get more information about this. I mean, where can I go to learn more about the FCC task force? What kind of materials do you have for me to share with other colleagues and to sort of get them on board with this is something we need to do as well? What do you recommend for me?
I recommend you join our membership. It's completely free. Invite your colleagues to do the same. You can find a subscription link on our website, but we will be sure to also share that with the show notes, both the subscription link and the website link. And let us do the heavy lifting around securing buy-in in family-centered care. Attend the webinars, watch the webinar recordings with your team, come to office hours to brainstorm solutions for overcoming your unit's specific barriers, and participate in our NICU family-centered care measures survey. We are a wealth of free resources and free education, and we just want to support your unit in implementing FCC.
I love it. Plus, you can share this podcast with them, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we were talking earlier before we went live, there are other podcasts your team has been on as well. So the Incubator podcast, which is a really well-known neonatal podcast. You've been on NAN's podcast. Am I missing one or two?
So I personally was on the Incubator podcast's spinoff, Beyond the Beeps, which is geared toward NICU families.
Yeah.
We've been on the Caring Essentials Trauma-Informed Care podcast with Mary Coughlin. We've also done the Preemie Hour with Canadian Premature Babies Foundation. I'm sure I'm missing more, but we've had so many incredible opportunities to share this work. And it's funny because the Incubator podcast was recorded in August, and I believe it was released in February. if I'm not mistaken, and the data was so outdated. Just our membership alone, the statistics were so, like, they were off by like 500. It was so funny. The growth that we're experiencing is just explosive.
Yeah, well, that's a testament to people need this, and they want this, and they need somebody to sort of help direct them. I mean, we all know this is the best way to do care, and the best thing for the babies, and the best thing for the parents. It is honestly finding that time, and like, if you can help us find that time and do the training through what you both are involved in and what the task force is doing, then that's a huge lift for a lot of people. So we're going to share the links to some of these podcasts as well.
Oh, great.
That's obviously an easy way for, if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, this is something we need to do, share the podcast link of your favorite podcast. It is Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee for everybody in Tennessee, though. Share that one and get people on board. So Morgan, too, while I've been talking to you about a few things, the parents, what role do parents need to play in the task force or the group that's built up in the hospital with your materials? How do we need to get them involved with these things? When is the right time to get these parents involved so they can help improve the care for their own babies and future babies that'll come into the NICU? What's your advice there?
I think it's always a good time to get family partners involved. Typically, units wait 1 to 2 years once families are discharged home to bring them back onto the unit, because sometimes that can be re-traumatizing for families. But family partners bring a powerful human-centered perspective that can transform neonatal care from the inside out. Their contributions go far beyond providing peer support in the NICU, although that's crucial to this work too. But within the FCC task force, they help shape policies. They share strategies for improving communication between clinicians and families, and they ensure that the care being provided is truly family-centered. We're capable of understanding what a PDSA cycle is and helping you form a key driver diagram. You just have to let us have the opportunity.
Absolutely love it. So, you know, as we're wrapping up, you mentioned like what amazing growth you have had in a really short period of time. And then you mentioned the term that you're global, that you're not just here in the United States, you're sort of getting around the world. I mean, what's your big vision? What is your long-term goals? Where do you see this going?
Yeah, I can take that, Scott. Morgan briefly mentioned about the FCC measures survey. As you mentioned, it's actually a global network, and we have 70 countries as of today, representing like, I think, 2,500, close to 2,500 members. So it is expanding, and it's so excited to hear there's a need for this, and then people wanted to learn, and then it's always amazing to hear. And we collaborated with the former NICU families in our executive council and put together this comprehensive FCC measures survey. So we focused on 7 different domains, such as the NICU infrastructure, and whether do you have a family-centered care committee or family partnership council, what's your lactation support like? And so we asked them about the infrastructure and also asked about the family integration into care. Do you integrate families into QI work? How is your staff education around family-centered care? So we separated them into 7 different domains, and I asked the question around those topics, around the domain. And then we got a 90 plus centers responded to the survey. And we are actually looking at those data and then finding out there's a lot of variations among the centers. Some centers, they are really performing in discharge area, but struggling to include families into their care. So we are going to identify those variation. And next step is coming up with the topic-based QI improvement work. Like, example, if one center is thriving really well in the discharge education, they could be a mentor for the other centers who are struggling to improve the discharge education. So using the same peer mentoring model and small group setting, then we can work on improving the FCC practices in every aspect so that we can measure whether you are truly delivering family-centered care or you are just keeping that as a check box. Because some they say, oh, yes, I'm doing the skin-to-skin care. I'm delivering family-centered care. Are you truly delivering? Are you giving the parking facility for them or transportation? Or are you doing other things so that you're very important for the family? So that's why this red cap survey is... They're hoping to get more data. So that's why we extended the deadline to July 31st. So if any of your listeners wanted to be part of this survey, so they can complete the registration, we can share that link. And so they can register to receive their center-specific red cap survey link. So they can sit together with their team and collaborate and complete their survey. Just measure. You don't have to submit that to us. You can simply measure how you are performing and what's your needs. You can just assess the, your needs. So that's the goal of this task force. The ultimate goal is to not only measuring, but how do you improve and by using the implementation model.
Excellent. Absolutely love it. I want to thank both of you for joining us today. And for our listeners, all this material is going to be available in our show notes. Go on, sign up. Participate in the survey. But before I let you both go, I've got to ask you my absolute favorite question. Imagine you've got like this huge, gigantic billboard in the town where you live. It's in like the busiest part of town where thousands of people drive by it every day. Tell me what you would put on it. And it can be like a personal slogan that you have, a quote that means a lot to you. It can be about what we're talking about here today. It can be about like your philosophy for life, just anything that's going to inspire me and inspire our listeners to take action and be a difference in the world.
I'll go first. Mine, of course, is family-centered care related because that's just my passion. My billboard would say, nothing about me without me. I want to see a world where families are included in all NICU family-related research, policy creation, quality improvement work, and staff education.
Absolutely love it.
Okay, for me, I want to have the billboard in two places. One is the staff lounges, so where we have the NICU staff or physician lounges, whatever you can call. So this quote is actually from one of the family partners in the executive council. So he had mentioned, we are not showing up to work. We are showing up to trauma and fear.
Hmm.
So that's actually so powerful. So we go and work and then leave. But those babies and families, this is their life. So they are going through this trauma and fear that we have to realize whenever we enter into the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one place. And overall, maybe one on the highway is each one of us can make a difference. Together, we make a change.
Absolutely love it. All right. I'm inspired. I'm signing up today. I hope everybody else that's listening is as well. Thank you both again for taking time out of your day to join us. And as always, thanks so much to our listeners for tuning into another episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org. That's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.